Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
That's over 16 years ago. It was a...
It
was a very, very stressful time for myself and my family with Jennifer.
Did you pay it
like,
back?
Like a lot of families, Anya, and couples, we got into financial difficulty at that time. And on that particular issue, I don't have all the information to date.
Yeah, Jim Gavin speaking to RTE yesterday when he later went on last night to announce his shock departure from the presidential race following reports he owes a former tenant over €3,000. You've been listening to politicians all morning today reacting to this, but I want to know, how do you feel? You're the electorate. Was Jim Gavin right to withdraw? 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Rita's with me on the line today in County Clare. Rita, how do you feel about Jim Gavin's withdrawal?
Obviously, I'm very disappointed. I suppose as a local Fianna Fáil councillor, we would have been very supportive of his campaign. And it's disappointing when issues like this emerge and they naturally affect people's view. And, you know, everyone in public life, no matter, we have a responsibility to hold our standards to the highest fairness and accountability. But like, and people expect that honesty and integrity. But I suppose integrity isn't about never making mistakes, and it's how we deal with them and ensure that they're rectified is what's important. So I suppose that's the core of the issue, really, is how you address any issues or mistakes from the past and get ahead of them and ensure that they're dealt with fairly.
So does that mean he made the correct decision then?
I don't know, because I suppose it depends on the detail of the issue and how it could be rectified and solved, you know. So, you know, there were still three weeks left in the campaign. You know, a week is a long time in politics, so things can change very, very much so in 3 weeks. I think it was a bit soon. If the issue couldn't have been resolved and dealt with.
But hang on, what issue? I mean, the issue being the fact that there is a previous tenant who's come out to say that they're owed over €3,000 euro from payment. How would that be resolved over the next 3 weeks? Surely it needed to be resolved on Friday when this story emerged.
Certainly, exactly. It should have been resolved straight away. You know, that would have been getting ahead of it. That would have been ensuring that things arose, it was dealt with, and getting ahead of it. So I suppose maybe that is the issue, that it was let drag on, and that's where the issue has arisen, in terms of how it has dragged on.
What does this mean for Fianna Fáil?
Well, it means we don't have a candidate, which is very disappointing. We have, I mean, in Clare, we have a very strong party in the county. We have half of the councillors on Clare County Council. Jim Gavin's family obviously would be from County Clare and would have great association with the area. Jim would be very well known. He had a lot of supporters in the county and his family very, very, very well known, very well respected and liked. So he certainly had a lot of support. I was looking forward to canvassing next Sunday ahead of the Clare County Football Senior Final in Ennis in Kilsey Park. So, you know, we were here and there was a canvass yesterday in Ennis. So the people were behind him and supporting. Yes, there was, yes.
So even as this story emerged, and I presume that as Fianna Fáil people, and you're a former councillor, Clare, so this must have been the talk of the canvass yesterday, was it?
Well, the issue didn't arise until last night in terms of the drawing. I suppose how the campaign was going was obviously being discussed among.
Well, the interview in the Week in Politics members. Happened early yesterday.
Yes,
and the press conference
did,
happened in the aftermath of that.
Yes. So I suppose it was being discussed. And I suppose, as I said, there was still 3 weeks to go in the campaign. So, you know, things can change very quickly in politics. So it would have depended on how things progressed. He was still in the race at that stage.
Hang on a second. Rita, are you suggesting there was comeback from this for Jim Gavin yesterday?
I suppose in terms of how it wasn't dealt with quickly, maybe not. But, you know, it was how it was being dealt with was the issue.
Did Fianna Fáil just not do their due diligence on this?
Well, definitely it's something that has to be reflected on and considered, because when people put themselves in front of public office, and is selected, you have to ensure that there's issue, if any issues have arisen or issues in the past that could come out during the campaign, that due diligence is followed, and that it does, it's a lesson that has to be learned, and ensure that is followed and is processed to the highest rigor ahead of a campaign.
Because I would have thought that if a party was going to pluck somebody with no political or legal background from the sphere and parachute them into the national spotlight, that you would have to, I would have assumed you would be sat down and rigorously questioned about every single thing, iota, that you ever did, people you spoke to, like anything that might come out of the woodwork. Yeah. I would have thought you would have been rigorously interviewed about that.
Certainly, yeah, and that would be something that would need to be done, of course, yeah. And it obviously wasn't done in this instance to that degree, that anything that would have arisen or could come before the public that people had to consider, or even just to ensure that there was no issues, even if they never came out, that at least they were dealt with and you could go forward knowing that you had, to the best of your ability, addressed any issues that were outstanding.
Let me bring Claire in on this in Dublin. Stay with us, Rita, if you can, for a few more. Or sorry, not Claire. I have Carol with me. Apologies on the line. Carol's in Dublin. Good afternoon, Carol. Are you surprised at the news when you heard it?
Well, I'm not surprised.
Why, Carol?
I'll tell you why, because to be perfectly honest, when he was announced, I hadn't got a clue who he was. And I had to look him up. And I think part of the reason he was chosen was because he's huge in the GAA, and more than half of Ireland are GAA members. So it was kind of a guaranteed vote in a way. He doesn't have political or world training, if you know what I mean. So he just didn't seem suitable for the position.
Mm.
And in my opinion, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, no, and you're entitled to that. You're a voter. You're somebody who would have been going to cast your vote over the next couple of weeks. Had you been following much of the presidential campaign up to date?
Bits and pieces. Mm. I listen to News Talk, so that's my information.
That's where you get it from, right?
Yeah, that's where I learned about Jim Gavin this morning.
Okay.
But no, I'm not that surprised. I think Billy Kelleher would have been a much better bet. But he didn't get in. And as regarding the two ladies, personally, it's a very small choice. But I wouldn't kind of vote. Catherine Connolly is a fine woman, but I don't kind of associate with Sinn Féin. So I'd probably vote for Heather Humphreys.
And do you mind me asking, are you, when you say you would have voted for Billy Kelleher, are you a Fianna Fáil woman? Is it? It depends who the candidate is.
Depends who it is. I thought he was more suited than Gavin. I was Fianna Fáil most of my life, but in latter years I vote usually independent.
Yeah. But you weren't overly impressed then, were you, with the candidates that we had on choice in the first place?
No. And to be honest with you, I don't know who go up there to have their lives and all their skeletons taken out of the closet, etc. You know, there's none of us that hasn't done something that we didn't like or aren't happy about, but sure, look, that's part of the game. And
But you think given the story that emerged over the previous apartment and money's owed to tenant, you think it was the right decision, was it, to step back?
Well, that's obviously up to himself, but the point is, it would have been in the Sunday papers and more would have been made out of it, and he wouldn't be used to, I know he's used to kind of from the football end of things, having the journalists at him, but can you imagine because of this, they'd be looking for something else and something else, and he's just not used to that in the public sphere, if you know what I mean.
Well, there was a lot of questions still remained unanswered, wasn't there?
There was a lot, and I don't think he's very good at communicating. Like, in actual fact, the two women are better at communicating than him, but they're probably more used to it. So, look, that's just my opinion. Yeah. Everybody has their own.
No, that's it. And for you now, with Fianna Fáil and Micheál Martin that proposed Jim Gavin as the presidential candidate for the party, does it raise questions for you around Micheál Martin, or do you think this is it now, it's done and dusted? But
well, I've always liked Micheál Martin, but I didn't like that a decision was made and that was it, and no one else could come forward and no one else could vote for anyone else for the Fianna Fáil. I didn't like that.
Well, they'll say now, you know, they had the whole democratic thing and it was a fair, you know, contest, and Billy Kelleher was the other people, that people got to vote and the whole lot, you know. And
I didn't think it was democratic. Mm. I think a decision was made and that was it. I think anybody I know thinks the same.
Mm.
Wasn't Billy Kelleher allowed on? Because he's Fianna Fáil and Micheál Martin had put someone forward. So that was it. And they were all told that this is our candidate. End of story. That's not very democratic, is it?
Well, they did have the contest. The two of them, you know, went before the parliamentary party and members. But
do you not think the word was out, you know?
Micheál's leadership style.
Yeah.
Jim's the chosen one.
Yeah. Do you not think so?
Yeah. So you think, Carl, that you think that was unfair on Billy Kelleher?
Yeah, I do. Everyone a chance. If someone wants to go for it and they have the money to run it, the election, you know, why not? You might find a pearl in there or a diamond even. You never know.
Well, it's a two horse race now.
It is indeed.
Yeah. And one thing's for
sure. Choices are very limited.
Be a female president anyway.
It will, but I think the voting would be low one way or the other. But I think it'd be even lower now because of the people maybe that would have had their hearts set on Jim Gavin. Mm. Up in the park. So we'll see. And in actual fact, I'm inclined to agree with Michael O'Leary in regards to, do we really need a president?
That'll be a question for perhaps another day.
Another day, yes.
Carol, listen, thanks very much for your time today. Okay. Take care of yourself.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
1800 453 106 is the number. Paul is in Galway. Paulie, how do you feel about Jim Gavin's departure now from the presidential race last night?
Oh, well, I think he did the right thing, you know. He couldn't carry on with what came out about him, you know. But what I noticed was he kept on about that it was a stressful time for him financially and all this kind of stuff back in 2007 or 2008. But the person he owed the money to, it was probably stressful for him as well, and probably more so, you know. So there was no mention of that person at all, you know, that he owed the rent to.
This is the tenant, Paul, is it? You're talking about, yeah.
The tenant, yeah. I'm sure it was a difficult time for him as well, you know, back in the time of the financial collapse, you know. So there seemed to be no concern for him at all. But he had ample time to sort it out before now, you know, and he didn't do so. He thought it would just go away, but it didn't. And that's what happened.
And I know he talked yesterday in that interview with Áine Lawler, you know, about he was going to have to look into this, you know, and ascertain the details and the records and all of that, you know. And then it emerged then, obviously, late last night he was going to withdraw.
Mm-hmm.
As
I said, he had 16 years to sort this thing out. He should have sorted it out immediately. It was brought to his attention. He could have done that, but he opted not to do it.
So this was you feel is the right decision to pull out from the election, Paul? You do.
He couldn't carry on, you know, because this is me coming at him all the time. You know, he just couldn't. But there's one thing that disappoints me, Andrea, and it's in relation to Catherine Connolly. I think there's a lot of questions that she should be asked, and she's not been asked them. And I'll give you two examples. Our relationship with Jim O'Doherty.
Okay, well, we'll just one second, Paul, just for a moment there. So you think there's more questions to be asked about Catherine Connolly as well, and this is over the questions that were being asked, I suppose, of her in recent days too, in relation to a potential potential employee down the line, or in relation to that, is it?
Yes, the handshake with President Assad of Syria.
Okay, and would you have been inclined, Paul, you know, to vote for Fianna Fáil, or how do you feel about this now? So we've Catherine Connolly and Heather Humphreys. Like, has it? You know, you don't have to say maybe necessarily how you're going to vote, but has what's happened in the past 24 hours changed your view on how you might vote?
No, I was never voting for Jim Gavin anyway. Never, no.
You weren't voting for Fianna Fáil.
And to be honest with you, I was never voting for Catherine Connolly, so you can guess who I'd be voting for.
Right.
The reason, one of the reasons I wouldn't vote for Catherine Connolly is what I just mentioned to you.
Yeah. Okay.
And also, every time she's asked about Russia and Ukraine, she deflects away from it and diverts to Gaza. And she criticised European countries like France, Germany, Belgium for spending so much money on arms. You know, but the reason they're spending money on arms is because of what's going on in Ukraine or Russia.
Okay, so you had more questions to be asked there. Let me bring in Leanne Mallon. Leanne's with us. Leanne, you're the president of Ogra Fianna Fáil, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So how do the young Fianna Fáil members feel about this debacle
of
the past?
I think young and old kind of membership of Fianna Fáil are not happy at all with the decision of firstly Jim Gavin to resign, and also that maybe there's kind of questions that come up around the selection process and kind of the campaign, that the big push from the leadership in the party to kind of force nearly members to select parliamentary party members to select Jim Gavin for presidency.
Well, no, there was the selection, wasn't there? He won 41 votes to 29, wasn't it?
Yes, six votes to swing.
So you think this? So what's your view on that?
So I kind of like to echo what Billy Kelleher said this morning on your own radio station in Morning Ireland, that there really has been damage to the party done by Jim Gavin and also by the leadership in Fianna Fáil by not having a candidate. And there's also personal damage done to Jim Gavin and his family, and we in Ogra Fianna Fáil wish him well and his family well, but it's not good enough that the kind of vetting process or the due diligence and scrutiny that was carried out by Fianna Fáil headquarters staff, that this wasn't arisen and that this didn't come up in the process that was carried out, and even in regards to his campaign team, like the drone video and the members of the Defence Forces appearing in photos. They're basic things that headquarters should be getting right for our presidential candidate, and that's not good enough, and we in Ogra aren't happy with that. But we were out canvassing, and I myself was putting up posters last night for Jim Gavin, but it's a slap in the face to grassroots members. They are not happy at all.
So not happy with headquarters in relation. I mean, look, the reality of this is, and maybe this will all come out in the wash over the next couple of hours, but, you know, we don't know what exactly Jim Gavin was asked before being selected as a potential candidate to run for the Fianna Fáil party. Was he asked about maybe previous properties, potential payments that might be... We don't know that. And we've been told today that there was a very rigorous process.
Well, clearly not rigorous enough. Yes, the candidates do sign a pledge before they become a candidate. But obviously, like Jack Chambers said this morning on Morning Ireland, that Jim Gavin wasn't fully truthful to the party on Friday, and then later the news came in about the registered letters that he received clearly contradicted this. But I also feel like that maybe...
What about Micheál Martin? In all of this?
Well, it lies with him. He's the party leader. He pushed it. He was ringing parliamentary party members canvassing for Jim Gavin. So there's questions that he also needs to be asked. But also in the process coming up to it, I feel like Fianna Fáil party members weren't given a fair chance to select a candidate. Like Billy Kelleher raised his head above the parapet, so did Mary Hannafin and so did Eamon O'Queeve. And I feel like they weren't given true and fair time to contest the process that Micheál Martin had in his head relation to the selection convention.
Jane is with us. Jane, you're in Cork. How do you feel about this story over the weekend? Well, really, I mean, it's gone on since Friday, really, isn't it?
It is. And I feel there's a big blank section between all the information we have and what actually went on in 2008-09 with his bank. Because it seems it was taken out of two different accounts, and the banks transferred the money over to Jim Gavin even after they'd been told not to transfer.
Yeah, well, I know that's in relation to the tenants, the tenants' payments. And look, we don't know, and now it'll, you know, it's Jim Gavin is now
a private person. No, you can't investigate him.
He's no longer presidential candidate. So I suppose the banking matters and how that unfolded, we can't really get into, Jane. But was he right despite all of this and the sure, we're talking about it for the past 20 minutes here on Lunchtime Live today. Was he right to withdraw from the presidential race?
Absolutely. He had no choice. That would be hanging over him forever. because unless it was sorted, and I don't know why it wasn't sorted even in the small courts, what went on in that period
And what
of
about Micheál Martin and Fianna Fáil? How do you feel about the... How do you feel about... Well, they're handling, I suppose, of all of this.
It is, but it's the same for all the parties and for people like Mary Steen, the people who are not able to get a nomination. It's a very weird system of nominating. And this has shown it up, I think, completely. We ended up with Hobson's Choice. Two ladies, both very political ladies, but once they go to the Oras, they really have no place in politics. They can only play our part as the ordinary people to protect our constitution and to make sure that he rubber stamps any of the issues that go forward for him to stamp. Mm. Otherwise than that, them talking about housing and health and social issues.
That's just a nonsense.
Really?
Yeah, there's no role in that. And for you, does it change, Jane, how you might vote, or is it?
No, I would never have voted for him. I don't know the man. I feel he was, dropped out of space, really. Mind you, the GA people obviously would know him, and I believe he'd a very successful career in the army. But that just really doesn't do it. Both of the ladies going forward have very good track records, so they can be judged on that, I think.
Okay. All right. Well, look, you hardly need to tell you there's loads of people getting in touch about this today. That's Jane Paul, Leanne Mallon there, who's the Ogra Fianna Fáil president, Rita Carlin in Dublin too. Emails lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. We are going to come back to this after 1 o'clock today. A lot of listeners getting in touch with us today about this. And like, you've been listening to politicians all morning here on News Talk, but I'm asking, how do you feel? Because you're the electorate. You're the people that are going to be voting on Friday, the 24th of October. So this Friday, 3 weeks. 1800 453 106. That's the number. Fran is with me on the line today in Dublin. Fran, were you surprised by the announcement from Jim Gavin last night?
I was surprised, yes, when I heard that he'd been involved in this thing, the renter person. But I wasn't surprised that he had to go. I mean, he had to go. You can't have a president with something. It's dishonest. What he did was dishonest. And I feel sorry for him as a human being. Do you know what I mean? Because it must be awful for him and for his children and his wife and his family and everything. Do you know? Because we all make mistakes, and that's okay, because nobody's perfect, right? But the thing is, it was 16 years ago, so he's a long time to fix it, and he didn't. But the culprit, I think, is the people who interviewed him for the job of the president, the Fianna Fáil people who interviewed him, because did nobody sit him down and say, look, you're a sort of a political novice. All the other people have been through the political system. They've had to declare their properties and all the rest of it, and we all know a few of them have tried to dodge that bullet. But, in general, people put down what happens.
Well, you have to have the register of interest. And I know Jim would say, just on the remarks about, you mentioned there about dishonest, like, look, he talked about it been 16 years ago, and I was just listening to his own press conference yesterday when he was been asked about this after the interview, when he talked about the Residential Tenancies Board, that he was one, him and his wife, of many people that didn't have the property registered at that time, and that he was going to, look into all of this and resolve any of the outstanding issues, I think, were the comments he made yesterday on it.
What he's going to do it now, like, what was he doing for the last 16 years? Do you know, that's the problem. Okay. It's that if it was 16 weeks, you'd say, okay, do you know what, give him a break. Do you know, he's going to fix it. But 16 years is a long time. And maybe he did forget, but I can't imagine that I'd forget. Do you know, like, it's a lot of money back then, especially...
This is a lot of money now.
It's a lot of money now, but back then everybody was, lots of things were going wrong.
Sure, I know. It was the downturn and the crash, and I know all of that. But you think he had to pull out, did he, Fran?
I think, sadly, and I don't take any joy in saying that, because I'm sure he's a decent man, but I just think he had to go. But I really think the Fianna Fáil interviewers, whoever they were, the people who were looking at him, should have really forensically gone through everything and said to him, look, we have a very, very, forensic media here, thank God, unlike America and other places, and they will, if there's something, they'll probably find it and they'll expose it, which is your job, and I like that you do that. But the point is, if there's anything, so I just wonder, was there not enough due diligence, as the word is, done on him beforehand, that would have prevented all of this for everybody and for him? and for his family. Do you know? So I think they're culpable in this, you know. I do think that.
So you think the buck stops with Micheál Martin? He's the party leader.
Well, I'm saying it's a party leader or whoever he employed to interview him and go. I'm sure. Look, I mean, they're going to say to him, we have to sort of groom you. That you can be sure he's getting groomed as how to speak in front of the television and all of that. Mm. But before all of that, is there anything at all that you need to tell us so that something doesn't come and bite you? You know, later on.
And I'm sure, you know, to be fair to those, I suppose, that would have been charged maybe with, I'm not sure, I don't know, was there an interview, right?
I'm saying it's a job interview.
So I know, I don't know how, but I'm sure there was questions asked, I have no doubt, but I suppose how robust.
Did he not tell? You know, like there's something off, isn't there? So maybe he forgot. Let's say he forgot. His wife wouldn't have forgotten. You know, somebody would have said, but Jesus, do you remember that thing? Do you remember, which would be, you know, something. So that even if he forgot personally, I can't imagine that the whole family forgot. You know, like, because it would be a big thing. Do you know, wouldn't it? When you had a property and all that thing was going on and everything. So, yeah. He should have said it, and maybe he forgot. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. But I think it just doesn't quite ring through, and therefore if he became the president there would always be that sort of cloud hanging over, and I don't think our president is meant to represent the best of us, so you can't have any kind of a cloud, you know. I don't think except if you fix it, you know, like if you say I did this, I put my hands up. And I think the Irish are very forgiving. I remember many years ago a politician got into trouble for, you know, kind of sexual misdemeanor, and he put his hands up and he was voted back in the next time round.
So there is a pathway back, I suppose, if people are maybe upfront about it. 1800 453 106, the number. We've Fianna Fáil TD Malcolm Byrne with me on the line today. Malcolm, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What happened here? Like, what were Fianna Fáil doing?
I'm as disappointed as anybody else. Over, you know, events that have happened over the last couple of days. It's difficult for the party. We certainly didn't anticipate, you know, what has now happened.
Well, is that not a very poor reflection of the party?
Well, for me, look, in the first case, I have sympathy for Jim Gavin and his family. All elections are particularly brutal, but the presidential election, probably more so than any. And look, there is a man and his family at the centre of this. And so, he's given a lot of public service. So therefore, I have some sympathy for him. That said, there was a very clear issue around this rental property. What happened shouldn't have happened. What we're trying to get to the bottom of at the moment is the vetting process. In other words, was Jim Gavin asked about landlord-tenant issues around housing, any financial skeletons in his cupboard? We need to get full answers on some of that. You know, what did Jim Gavin make available to those doing the vetting process? Was the vetting process sufficiently thorough?
Who's responsible, Malcolm, for doing that?
Well, ultimately, it's the leadership and party headquarters, because in our case, when Jim Gavin was presented as a candidate, and I did not know Jim Gavin, I met him, and on a one-to-one, I was certainly very impressed when he was talking about his role in the Defence Forces, the time he served in the United Nations, particularly on peacekeeping missions in Chad. You know, that really impressed me. But obviously, I think had we have known about this during the selection process, then I don't think Jim Gavin would have been selected as our candidate.
That's the point. Is it not a very poor reflection of the process that you have, that you didn't know, that the party leadership didn't know about it? Like, it's one thing to ask the question. It's an entirely different thing to then go further and actually research and investigate and ascertain that what you were told was accurate. Like, Jim Gavin was a novice candidate who was plucked, you know, out of the local community, albeit with a superb career in GAA management. But, like, the serious questions over how rigorous this process was. It clearly wasn't good enough.
I entirely agree. I'm not disagreeing with you. So we need to establish as a party first of all, the nature of the vetting process, how it operated, what questions were put to Jim Gavin, and what answers he gave. And then on foot of that, you know, there has to be accountability and action on foot of that. But I'm not going to preempt until I know. I mean, I very much believe in making decisions based on evidence. We need to find out, you know, how the vetting process actually operated. What was Jim Gavin asked when this issue that was raised in the Irish Independent, you know, when it came to light, what actions were taken on foot of that? I think Jim Gavin has made the correct decision. There's no hiding that this is damaging to the party, and particularly for the members of the party right around the country and the supporters of the party. Yes. This is very disappointing. You know, for the largest party in the state, the largest party in the Dáil and local government, not to have a candidate in the presidential election is very disappointing, particularly if this could have been avoided.
How responsible is Micheál Martin? And what level of responsibility should he take for this? And Jack Chambers as the Director of Elections?
Well, I think the Taoiseach will have to, as I said, make, you know, very clear to us within the parliamentary party the process, the due diligence process that we were assured would have been carried out, because clearly it failed. And I don't know, and I'd love to be able to say to you that I know the full detail of that process. I don't know it as yet. But we are entitled to know in the coming days. And certainly I think that the Taoiseach and those in leadership will have to hold up their hands and say, look, clearly the vetting process here was not good enough. But let's wait and see until we know the full detail of that.
And is that it then? Is that it? You know, if whatever, you know, review of this is carried out within Fianna Fáil and the outcome is it wasn't satisfactory, we'll have a more robust process for the next presidential election. Is that good enough? Will you and the Fianna Fáil members accept that? We just plough on as is.
Well, we need to see the outcome of the review. I mean, I'm not going to hypothesise on what. You know, that the outcome of that is going to be. But look, very clearly, the process failed. You know, we're now in a situation whereby a candidate for the presidency has withdrawn. Mm. You know, that's very disappointing.
Will you canvass for Heather Humphreys now, Malcolm?
I'll put it this way. We'll move on to the, you know, the next question is obviously the issue as to who to support for president. And I think I've got to make clear that I will not be supporting Catherine Connolly.
So you'll vote for Heather.
I think that there are a lot of questions about Catherine Connolly, you know, that she downplays Russia's role in aggression in Ukraine and yet insults our partners in France, in Germany and in Poland and in the Baltic countries. And
okay, well, we'll just stick to the today's the day for we're talking about the Fianna Fáil debacle, if you want to call it that, for today. But we can go back to Catherine Connolly tomorrow. But will you vote and canvass for Heather Humphreys at this stage, Malcolm?
Well, my look, it's a matter for each individual whether they're voting, but I will be voting for Heather Humphreys.
Okay,
I think certainly in terms of her experience. You know, she has the political experience, okay, in terms of a unifying force. She has that.
All right,
let's take each member to decide.
Okay, let's take a listen, Malcolm, to Billy Kelleher. He was chatting to Pat a little earlier.
Jim Gavin and his family, obviously devastating for them. They've been in the eye of a storm for a number of days now. A lot of personal, you know, scandalous rumours, and then this particular issue. And it really goes to show that the presidency is a bruising campaign and due diligence is critically important. But from my perspective, just the humanity of it, like, you know, himself, sure, his wife and his children, we have to be very conscious of that today.
Do you have any sympathy for Billy Kelleher today, Malcolm?
I do. And I mean, there's every single word that Billy said, you know, I would agree with in terms of, you know, having an understanding of Jim Gavin's personal position. And I think, I suppose, had we known, you know, of the difficulties with Jim Gavin and that they hadn't been sorted out in advance, I think Billy Keller would probably be our candidate for president today.
Aidan Brophy's with us as well, Malcolm, here on the line today. Aidan, you're a Fianna Fáil member. Will you be out canvassing for Heather Humphreys now?
No, I won't. No, I'll certainly be. I no doubt be voting for her, but I won't be. I won't be canvassing. I won't be out canvassing for her. I won't be voting for her when I great relish. But I will. I'll certainly give her my number one in these circumstances.
Are you disappointed? There's no Fianna Fáil. Well, technically there'll be a Fianna Fáil candidate on the ballot paper, but you've nobody now contesting the election.
Yeah. I mean, I am very disappointed. I suppose why I kind of would have set my message on it earlier was I'm just of the opinion that you know, looking at this race and how it's developed, that, you know, you'd want to have your head examined to put your name forward for the presidential election. I mean, we're mentioned there about Billy Kelleher. While Billy Kelleher's name was in the ring, there was a story in the papers about his brother's financial affairs.
Okay, well, we'll just that's not relevant to you.
Yeah, no,
that's
I'm not relevant. I'm not getting into details of it, but what I suppose what I'm driving at here is, you know exactly how white do we want people? In terms of completely unblemished records, is the, you know, why would you get yourself into this race? I hear kind of a lot of talk about how bruising the presidential election campaigns are in terms of, you know, the toll they take on you. I mean, I don't see any great appetite in the public for them to be this bruising. I don't particularly care, this level of detail. Obviously, this is a damaging story and probably sufficient enough for them to be taken out of the race. But I mean, it's not the first damaging story that Jim Gavin had to deal with.
Absolutely, and there's no question around that whatsoever, Aidan, in relation to wrong allegations, and I think that point has absolutely been made. But I think the difference here is how it was handled once it emerged, this story on Friday, in relation to the financial affairs of a previous apartment that was under their name or in their remit, and that's
handled
the
very
issue.
Poorly handled, very poorly, from start to finish, and there are questions to be answered. But I mean, like, in terms of the vetting process, short of people who submit their name for party nomination taking ads out in the newspaper, you know, parties taking ads out in the newspaper saying, "No, do you have a grievance against this person?" I don't see how you could turn some of this up in vetting.
You have to take what people say in good faith, and
yeah, that's my point.
To be fair to everybody involved, you know, I think that's what probably a lot of people would have thought would be the case. Linda's with me. Linda, was this the right decision by Jim Gavin to pull out?
Hi, Andrea. Yeah, no. Do you know what? I think Jim Gavin made the right decision for him. It was a personal choice. What he did was wrong. He knows that, but the way I'm thinking about it right now is, I think it's far too politicised. We're hearing far too much about how this is affecting the government and the parties and who's to blame. I'm more concerned that we are now facing into a presidential election and we have two candidates. And it's beginning to feel more like general election part two, because you have the government party and the opposition party. There was no choice. There is no choice. And all we're hearing is bickering and fighting and mudslinging. And I am so sick and tired of it now. And I don't think I'm the only one.
No, you're not. I mean, you're not. I can tell you you're not.
It is an argument between the government. They're like children in a schoolyard arguing over who's in charge, and I'm sick of that. The President of Ireland has huge boots to fill as far as I'm concerned, but it should not be political. It never should be. That's not the role of the President. Okay. And I think the people in charge, I mean, should really recognise that.
Rob is with us. Rob, do you agree with Linda?
How's it going? Personally, now I think that he should have left the race. You know, I'm glad he has left it, to be honest with you. Like earlier on, Fiona Sheehan was speaking with Pat Kenny, and he said it was himself originally who broke the story, and he also said that look, this tenant in question has reached out to Jim Gavin numerous times. He believe he even said that he'd found where his parents had lived. Left a letter with them. He was then looking at legal proceedings, you know. So there's no way that Jim Gavin had forgotten about this. He said that he originally had no recollection of the issue, you know, and he was looking into it. There's no way that somebody can go through all of that and not remember it, you know. So
that's what he did say. He reiterated that again yesterday. But you think it was the right decision to pull out, you do?
I personally do think it was the right decision, you know, and it's not against his previous career or anything
Doesn't take away from that.
It's not a good thing to give it to another person, in my opinion.
Would you, and would it change how you'll vote finally, Rob?
Yeah, I would have been between him and Catherine Connolly originally, and now I wouldn't go. That's me personally.
Okay. Yeah, look, there'll be a lot more discussion and analysis about this, and you know, and I'm sure in relation to the Fianna Fáil party as well, there'll be some talk about this too, and you'll be kept posted here on News Talk. Don't worry about that. For the moment, Rob, Malcolm Byrne, TD, Linda, Aidan, Fran, thanks a million for sharing your thoughts with us. We could talk for another 2 hours to people today about this. The messages and the texts coming in, they're endless. The emails, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.